What is meant when the Bible says in the beginning was the Word? Why is that chosen in the most important book of the Bible concerning salvation, the Gospel of John? Why is it chosen in that great salvation book? Why is that title for Jesus chosen? Why didn't he say in the beginning was the Savior? And the Savior was with God, and the Savior was God. Are you listening? Everybody this way. Why didn't he say in the beginning was the Son of God? The Son of God was with God, and the Son of God was God. Why did he say Word? Follow me carefully. A word includes three things. Now, this is the foundation of all I'm going to say. A word includes three things. A word includes a thought. Nobody, you say, I spoke without thinking. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you think before you spoke. Now, you may have not thought enough. Or you may not have thought about the right thing. But you didn't speak before you thought. You've got to have something here before it can come out here. So, now, all of this is wrapped up in a word. The thought is part of a word. Secondly, the word itself, the spoken word. Thirdly, an act. Now, all three of those things are part of a word. The thought is as much a part of the word as the speaking is. If you speak something, it was here first. And that means since it was here first, it was already here. So the word that you're about to speak is already here, formed. So the word is here, as you think. Then, once you have spoken the word, then the act that you do, you say, I'm going to do so and so. Then when you do that so-and-so, you're doing the Word. You follow what I'm saying? So, the actual speaking of the Word is a revelation of what was formed here. So, okay, let's take a car. A car is manufactured, say, in Detroit. And now that car, before it ever hits the road, is already a car. But when it hits the road, there's the car. Now, the car was being built, but it's already a car. Now, when the car is bought, you buy the car. But now, when you drive the car, it's still a car. Now, a word is that way. A word is a thought. When that thought is completed, it is ready for delivery. It's off the assembly line. Then you speak it. Now, then, when you do it, you do what you said. If a man's an honest man, he does what he said. So he is doing the Word. Let me give you a few statements about that. Statement number one, a word is a completed thought. Did you hear me? I said a word is a completed thought. Now don't leave me here because I'm going to preach an old truth tonight, but I'm going to show you why it's important. A word is a completed thought. Number two, the thought is the preparation of the Word. When you are thinking, you are preparing a word, something to say. So, Jesus was the thought in the mind of God of how he would reveal himself to man. When Jesus came, he was already, the body was prepared, and in the mind of God, that way of revealing himself to man was already prepared. So when he came, he was simply fulfilling what God had decided to use for revelation of himself. God has spoken to us these last days by his Son. That's the Word. Now, the Word, consequently, is first a thought. That's the preparation of the Word. Secondly, a speaking of the Word. Thirdly, the acting of what you said. Statement number four. I'm sorry, number three. The Word is ready, so it's spoken. The mind is the factory. Are you following me? The mind is a factory where words are made. When the Word is made in the mind, it is spoken by the tongue. Then Consequently, the word is the completed thought. An act is a completed word. I'm going to put the word right here, the thought right here, and the spoken word right here, and the deed over here, or the act over here. All right, first you think something. Now, don't leave me now. First you think something. Now, when that something is that thought is completed, you speak it. If you're right, you don't speak. You completed your thought. You shouldn't speak too soon. So when the thought is completed, you speak it. But you speak what you thought, so it was a word before you said it. Then the act is a completed word. You say, I'll do thus and so, then the act, if it coincides with what you said, is a completed word. So the entire word is threefold. It is a word prepared in the mind, a word spoken with the lips, same thing as prepared. It was already a word before it was spoken. And then the act is the doing of it, is the completing of that word by doing what you said you were going to do. So, the word is threefold. It is the forming of the word. It is the speaking of the word. It is the fulfilling of the word. Three times in the Bible, you'll have Jesus mentioned as the Word of God. Genesis 3:8, John 1:1-14, Revelation 19:13. Three times. Now, in the first time, it is the past. The second time, the present. And the third time, the future. The past is the preparation of the Word. And the present is the speaking of that Word. That's Jesus, when He's born in Bethlehem, was God in these last days speaking unto us by His Son. Now, what was His Son? He was what it was foreordained to be back in Genesis. So in Genesis, the Word was formed in the mind of God. In John, the Word was spoken through Jesus Christ. And in Revelation, He comes back and He says, I did what I said I would, and the Word is completed. Now, that's what Revelation 19 means. Jesus came and said, I told you to come again, here I am. That's why He's called the Word of God. I'm doing exactly what I said to do. I said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you to myself. Where I am, there ye also. And so when Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory, instead of His, He is doing exactly what He said. Now when you do what you said, then you're doing is also the Word, because you're doing what you said you'd do. Now, let's stay awake here on the front now. Now listen. That means if you don't keep your word, your action's not a word. It is not a completed word. So, a spoken word is a completed thought. And an action, if it's done properly, is a completed word. Here's the thought over here that you think, and you put it in words, that's the speaking of the completed thought. Then you do what you said you'd do, that is doing exactly what you said you'd do, which means that the action is a completed word. Jesus, now hear me carefully, I'm going to get you back in, and I'll tell you a funny story so the rest of you can hear in a few minutes. I'll holler against in a few minutes against the movie so you Howells Anderson fellows can get back with me. Now, Jesus is a perfect example of the perfect agreement of the three. He was exactly what God intended Him to be. In the great mind of God, Jesus was formed. When He came to the earth, He was the perfection of fulfillment of the mind of God and the plan of God. So the spoken word, which was Jesus, was a perfect fulfillment of what He was supposed to be in the mind of God. Then, His coming again, everything He said He'd do in this book, He's done, or will do. Which means that since His coming was in perfect focus with the mind of God for His coming, then there's perfect harmony between the thought and the word. Then since He has done and will do everything He said He would do, then there's perfect harmony between what He said and what He did. Now let's get to you. The fullest and best Christian life, now hear me carefully, is the one that focuses all three of these into one. When your spoken word it coincides perfectly with what you think. And when your actions coincide with what you say. Now, to what degree you do that, to that same degree you're a good Christian. Are you listening? That same degree. When your words, as your words express your thoughts, and as your deeds express your words. Because you see, the sermon I'm preaching tonight, now follow me carefully, the sermon I'm preaching tonight, this sermon has been prepared for a long time. First couple, 3 days. It's been all ready to preach for a couple of days. Now, I am delivering tonight as best I can exactly what my mind thought of as I studied and prepared. Now, to what degree that my words tonight coincide with the thought that I had for this service is the same degree that I succeed. Now, to what degree that my life after the sermon is over coincides with what I preach tonight. So I'm simply saying that God is saying that Jesus is the perfect example of somebody who spoke exactly what he was supposed to speak and thought to speak. And he's the perfect example of somebody who lived exactly what he spoke. So because he thought something and exactly spoke what he thought and exactly lived what he spoke, then he is perfection. Now, to what degree that your talking is consistent with your thinking and your action is consistent with your talking, to that same degree, you're a good Christian. You're not a good Christian because you say amen, though I think you should. You're not a good Christian because you tingle when the preacher preaches, though I think you should. You're not a good Christian because you don't smoke, though I don't think you should. You're not a good Christian because you come to church every Sunday, though I think you should. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I think you should. You're a good Christian when you become the Word, you become the Word. I mean, what you say is consistent with what you think, and what you do is consistent with what you say. So whatever degree that your words are not consistent with your thoughts, and your actions not consistent with your words, to that degree, you're a hypocrite. And all of us are hypocrites, to an extent. Because none of us is perfect. We're all human. So we are supposed to strive to be sure that we think right and then speak the right we thought and then live the right we spoke. Illustration. Example. We say sometimes, we say, I spoke before a thought. Now that's not true, but you can speak before you think much. You know what I do? I would never stand up here and preach a sermon and preach all I know about one subject. I've often said that to young preachers. Don't ever tell all you know about one subject. Somebody might ask a question when you get through. And you're stuck. What I'm preaching about tonight, you won't believe this, but I'm absorbed with it. You ask me anything you want to ask me about this, and I believe I can give you a decent answer. Because I live in these truths I preach to you. You just asked me a question about this morning's sermon, because I'll tell you what, if I gave you this morning a bucket full, I had a well full. And I'm saying that God wants us to complete thought before we speak. Example. We speak before the thought is finished. I know preachers get some little book they read from somebody. Usually some non-denominational person that's not a Baptist. And I happen to be a Baptist. And I happen to think in this part of the country we don't mention the word Baptist enough. But I'm saying that we get some little book by somebody and we get enchanted because of some chapter in that book is real cute. We jump up and preach it. What I preach to you from behind this pulpit, I have decided a long time ago, I believe it. Paul said, that's why I won't change. That's why you won't hear me preaching something. You won't hear me preaching. You'll never, unless I get senile, I'm more senile than I am now. Unless I lose my mind, you won't come back here and hear me preaching someday hyper-Calvinism. You won't ever hear me unless I lose my mind, get up here. I got a book by some, I found out that God's chosen those to be saved and chosen those to be lost. No, I did not preach that. I do not preach that, and I will not preach that. Unless I lose my mind, you won't come back sometime and find that Hiles just turned the radio preacher on, heard him talk about Lordship salvation, all of a sudden thought that sounded pretty cute, and I'll preach Lordship salvation. No, sir. It was settled years ago in my mind, the thought was formed that you're saved by grace through faith in that alone. It's all settled. Because it's all settled, when I speak it, I'm not speaking something that I haven't thought through, I'm speaking something I thought through years ago. So, inconsistency. When we say before the thought is finished. Example. We act before we think it through. Our actions start before our thinking finishes. And in so doing, we're not good Christians because the perfect Son of God, in His talk, He exactly coincided with His thoughts. And His life exactly coincided with His spoken words. So, there was a perfect synchronization and focusing of the thoughts of Christ and the words of Christ and the actions of Christ. Now, that means that when we act before we think it through, we're not synchronizing or focusing the total word. Example. We fail to do what we say we'll do. You said one time you'd tithe and you're robbing God. Jesus always does what He said He'd do. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He tried, He couldn't. He cannot lie because He's God. So since He cannot lie, He always does what He said He would do. And if you're going to be like Him, you're going to have to work at doing what you say you'll do. You promised God you'd tithe, and you've got God's money burning your pocketbook right now. So you're not like Jesus, and your word is not complete. Because what you're doing is not coinciding with what you're speaking. You said, for example, that you'd pay your debts. You'd be shocked if you knew how many people in this room tonight, for example, and I'm not trying to collect anything, but you'd be shocked if you knew how many people in this room tonight owe Hiles Anderson College back debts and never make an effort to pay. I mean, they go to McDonald's and use Hiles Anderson College money to buy hamburgers with, and you're crooked. Never make any effort to pay. Got the strange idea that you don't have to pay till you come back. I'm not trying to collect money tonight. I'm not concerned about getting money from Hiles Anderson College. I'm concerned about having honest people in the church here. Now, that's more... Listen, when your behavior and action coincides with your verbal speaking and your speaking coincides with what you believe, then you're getting more Christ-like. For Jesus is the Word of God. He's the Word of God. The spoken Word must come from the thought. So it's the Word of God. And the actions must come from the spoken Word. So the action is a part of the Word. And the thought is a part of the Word. Listen. I think Dr. Billings told me this. I think he said $450,000. His old house. Is that? Almost $500,000 is old Hiles Anderson College. By people who came to college and said they'd pay it. I don't know who they are and never check it. Haven't got the foggiest idea who it is. But I guarantee you one thing. You're not right with God because your action is not coinciding with your spoken word. You said you'd pay your debts. Well, I don't know how much. I don't know how much we have. I'm sure that... Over $100,000 was of books and tapes were ordered at pastor school last year, 1985, a year and 3 months ago. I'm sure $100,000 or more has not been paid yet in 15 months. Now they said they'd pay. their action does not coincide with their word. What I'm trying to say, it's time that God's people decided to be honest. You got debts you owe to doctors. You're not going to pay it. You know you're not going to pay it. Now don't you come talking spiritual language to me because you're not spiritual. You said, I will pay. You got the services. And you're not paying. And you haven't got a right. Go get your cheese quarter pounder. You haven't got a right to take the doctor's money and buy your cheese quarter pounder with it. You haven't got a right to. Now, the world is waiting for God's people to think right and then speak as they think and then act as they speak. And since Jesus was the perfect one whose spoken word coincided with his thoughts and his actions coincided with his spoken word, the more we do that, the more we're going to be like Jesus. Now follow me carefully again. Here's where we get in trouble. In just a few minutes, I'm going to come down from the deep and come back up, let you breathe a while. But when I start preaching, you'll wish I was down deep again so you couldn't understand it. Let me tell you why. One of the big problems you got. You speak things you cannot fulfill. One day when our girls were home, we got talking in the living room and I got teaching this to them. And to this day, once in a while, one of the girls will mention, Daddy, give us that again. And here it is. I never try to think of a solution to something until I'm asked to solve the problem. For example, you say, you know, here's got a problem. You say, I know what she ought to do. She ought to do thus and so. Now, since you cannot make her do thus and so, you are creating an impossible focusing of the thought, word, and action. If I say to Mr. Fernandez here about him, if I say, you know, Elmer ought to do thus and so. Well, since Elmer has not asked me what he ought to do, if I decide what he ought to do, I cannot implement what I said. So I got a bunch of unfinished things in my mind here. A bunch of jangle threads in my mind. Unfinished. Amen. That's why it's none of my business what you do until you ask me what you ought to do. And I refuse to meddle in your affairs and try to tell you what you ought to do or tell somebody else. Listen, it is not only are we wasting our time, we stand around, I think he ought to do this, so she shouldn't have done this, he ought to do this. Not only wasting our time, we're confusing our minds. Because we are putting thoughts in our minds and words from those thoughts, and we cannot fulfill them with the actions. Are you understanding what I'm saying right now? What I'm trying to say, if you won't understand it, is keep your nose out of everybody else's business. You understand that? Now, the reason you ought to keep your nose out of everybody's business is because, in the first place, it's none of your business. And in the second place, you're trying to decide something that you cannot enact. You're trying to voice something you cannot implement. And you've got a bunch of unfinished things in your mind. You don't know it, but that's why you're so frustrated, because you can't do what you say. You better know that's good. Very good. That's why you ought to quit sitting around yak, 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 yak. And about him, about her, about him, about her, about them. Won't you talk about something decent to talk about? And also, why don't you realize you're hurting yourself because you can't do anything about it? And also, you got enough stuff that you need to do to fulfill what you're saying and thinking about, where you haven't got time to fix him up anyway. Somebody said, don't you think so-and-so ought to do so-and-so? I said, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I got enough so-and-sos coming to me asking what so-and-so ought to do, to where they need me to help so-and-so without trying to help some so-and-so that didn't come to my office and ask me so-and-so. So if you don't come to me and ask what you ought to do, I'm not going to try to figure out what you ought to do. It's not going to help you if I can't figure it out. It's going to hurt me because I've got some unfinished business hanging around up my mind and a bunch of dangling threads that are going to confuse me. Now, follow me. You think it, you speak it, you do it. Now, if the speaking coincides with the thinking, and if the acting coincides with the speaking, then the key is the thought. Because the thought is what is going to be the action as soon as it's spoken. Think, speak, act. Say it. Think, speak, act. Say it again. Think, speak, act. Say it again. Think, speak, act. All right? Now, if you're like Jesus, and your speaking coincides perfectly with your thought, and if you're like Jesus, your action coincides perfectly with your speaking, then your thought determines what you do. So the key is the thought. If you don't think it, you can't speak it. Did you hear what I said? If you haven't heard the gossip, you can't spread the gossip. You hear what I said? If you haven't heard it, you can't spread it. Unless you dream it up. But even so, if you don't think it, you won't speak it. You sit with the house, how can I keep from gossiping? Don't know any gossip. Don't know it. Not only gossip, don't know bad things. I won't hang around where folks are talking bad. I mean, true bad. I won't do it. I said last Sunday morning, my mind is a computer. I want to come to you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night with a positive mind. I want to give you a mind that's full of joy and full of excitement and full of thrill and full of decency. I don't want to come and give you a mind that's all cluttered up and negative. And if my mind is not, if my preaching is not negative, my mind must not be negative. And if my mind is not negative, I must be careful to feed my mind with that which is positive. Illustration. Many years ago, and you heard me say this, I made the mistake one year of going to a state university. I went to the University of Texas at Arlington. I was there for just one year, and that's all. But those ungodly professors shook my faith in this book. I'll be quite frank with you. I got to where I didn't know whether this book was God's book or not. I didn't know who was right, Mama or the professors. And I got to reasoning. Mama went to school 3 years. They've been to school 15, 20 years. They must know more than Mama. And I got my faith in this book, got to wavering. And I decided I was going to find out for myself if this was God's word or not. So I promised God that I would read every word of this book on my knees. These professors that in these colleges that are running down this book don't know this book. They've never read it. I was on an airplane flying. I'm talking about heathens now. They don't read commentaries either. I'm talking about heathens. I was on an airplane flying from out west, Chicago. A fellow sitting beside me had on shoes that looked like he'd been plowing in the mud. His shirt was dirty. He had no tie. His razor had not been used in a long time. Bought it 15 years ago and still new. And I thought that poor unkempt fella. I said, sir, my name is Jack Hiles. We talked a while. I said, what business are you in? He said, I'm a professor at Bucknell University. Professor at Bucknell University. I said, sir, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? He said, don't believe all that stuff. He said, don't believe the Bible's word of God. I'm too scholarly. I said, oh, you are. Yes, he said, I've done research. I don't believe the Bible's God's word. I said, have you read it? He said, every word of it. I said, you read it much? Oh, yeah, read it many times. I said, have you read the book of Hezekiah? He said, yes, sir, many times. I said, how about the book of Jerusalem? Have you read that? Oh, yes, read it through and through. I said, you sorry hypocrite, you. There's no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. There's no book of Jerusalem in the Bible. And I said, you make your students do their research and make them document what they say. And you sit there, having never read the Word of God, and say it's not true, and you don't know whether it's true or not till you read it. They haven't read it. These pink professors haven't read the Word of God. You know why? They're afraid to read it. Why? It's sharp as a two-edged sword. That's why. Afraid to read it. got on my knees, and I read this entire Bible through on my knees in the Student Union building of Texas University in Arlington. When I finished the last verse of Revelation, it took me months. When I finished the last verse of Revelation, after having read every word in this Bible on my knees, I jumped to my feet and I said, Mama's right and the prophet's wrong. This is God's Word. Man couldn't write a book like this. It's God's book. All right, now, okay, that was the thought. Then I said, I'll preach it. That was a spoken word. Brother, when I said I'll preach it, I don't mean I'll preach it till the going gets tough. I mean I'll preach it. I'll preach it as long as the church will let me preach it. And if a church won't let me preach it, I'll get outside and preach it. If it won't let me preach on the street corner, I'll get out in the pasture and preach it. If it won't let me preach in the pasture, I'll get in the cemetery and preach it. They chase me out of the cemetery, I'll get in the airport and preach it. Chase me out of the airport, I'll get on the street corner and preach it. Chase me out of the street corner, I'll get in the bus station and preach it. I gave my life to preach this word. I had the thought. I spoke my word. And I aim to live by it till I die. What are you saying? I'm saying my thought and my word coincided. And the actions of my life since I had that thought on my knees in the Student Union building is consistent with my spoken word. I said, I'll preach. That settles it. What I say, I'll do. Because I want my words to be the expression of a completed thought. And I want my actions to be the completion of a spoken word. So here's the spoken word. It's manufactured in my mind, spoken in my tongue, acted with my life. Now, what are we saying? We're saying that if the action's right, it ought to coincide with the word. If the word is right, it ought to coincide with the thought. Now that means that my mind must think the right thoughts. Now hear me carefully. If my mind thinks the right thoughts, I must feed my mind with the right thoughts, for my mind can only speak that which it can. My voice can only speak that which my mind knows. The reason I'm preaching tonight to you this message is because my mind has worked on it for weeks and weeks. I'm speaking what my mind prepared. It was already my word before I spoke it. Now it's a spoken word. Tomorrow it's my job to make it the living word. Now, how is my mind fed? My mind is fed basically two ways. Right there and right there. My eyes and my ears. Now, folks, listen to me. Everybody in this room wants to do right. Okay, if you want to do right, you got to speak right. Well, everybody wants to speak right. Okay, if you speak right, you got to think right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the Holy Spirit wrote, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Why? Because the meditation of my heart is the forming of the words of my mouth. And you're not going to live right till you start thinking right. You're not going to think right till you start feeding your mind right. And you feed your mind through your eyes and through your ears. My ears are a tape recorder. Going all the time. Everything I hear, listen, what I'm saying tonight to you is in your mind to stay. It's in the library of your tapes. It's there to stay. Always be there. And everything you've heard since you were able to understand speech is recorded in your mind. Now, if you have not listened right, you will not speak right. And if you have not listened right, you will not act right. Boy, I wish I could get this through to you. I hunger for you folks to be careful what you take in on that tape recorder called the ear. Three things have ruined America. Telephone, television, and telefriend. Those three things have ruined America. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. Telephones have caused more trouble in America than televisions have. And televisions have caused a heap of trouble. If you really want to help yourself, you tear the tele... If you want to really help yourself, before you take the television out, take the telephone out. I'm saying that since our actions depend on our words, if we're consistent, and our words depend on our thoughts, then our thoughts must be right, because the thought provides the ammunition for the word, and the word provides the ammunition for the action, which means I've got to keep my thoughts right. If I keep my actions right, if I keep my thoughts right, I've got to figure out how I get my thoughts, and I get my thoughts from the intake. Which means I've got to realize that everything I hear, everything you hear too, that means if you're listening to rock music, it's in you to stay. It's in there. It's in your brain. It's there. You can't get it out. Getting right with God, if you ought or won't get it out. And if your mind's filled with things that you've let come to your ear, filth that you've heard, if your mind is filled with that and filled with negatives, and you hang around critical people and listen to the gossips and the folks that talk about negatives all the time, you're going to have a negative mind. Have a negative mind. You're going to have a negative tongue. Have a negative tongue. You're going to have a negative life. You are what you think. And you think what you hear and what you see. My ears are a tape recorder constantly running, recording everything I hear, and it's permanently put in my mind, and my eyes are a movie camera constantly running, and everything that I've ever seen in my life, there is a film on it up here in my mind. And everything you see. Now, folks, doesn't it make sense? If you want to act right, you got to talk right. If you want to talk right, you got to think right. So if you want to talk right and act right, you got to think right. And you're going to think what you put in. That, you know, every once in a while somebody says, Brother Howell, you always preaching negatives about how you're supposed to live. He said, Jesus says, that which defileth a man is not that which just comes out. It's that which goes in. Well, he's got enough sense to know, Buster, what goes in comes out. More sense than some you got. That's what he has enough sense to know that. What goes in comes out. Paul said, hear me now, Peter and John said, we can but speak the things we have what? Seen and heard. That's all. He said, all I can speak is what I've seen and heard. That means if I'm going to speak right, I've got to see and hear right. And since my action determined by my speaking, and my speaking by my thinking, if I'm going to act right, I've got to see and hear right. And it's time the people of God decided to see right and hear right. Because your camera is constantly going. And the film are all filed right up here in the mind. And the tape recorder is constantly going. And the tapes are all recorded right here in the mind. That means it's all started in the library of the mind. That means I'm supposed to choose what I see. Now I want to say something you won't listen to, and you won't believe it, and you won't practice it, and you're crazy because you don't. Most of you have minds that are negative, because you don't read enough. I wish you'd turn that box off and get you a book. I mean, George Washington is right down here in this library, ready to teach you, while you're watching Bill Cosby. And you ought to have your head examined. Abraham Lincoln's right down there. Half a block down the street is Thomas Jefferson. Abraham Lincoln. Right over there in the bookstore of our church, you've got Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You've got Dwight L. Moody. You've got Billy Sunday. You've got John Rice. While you watch Bill Cosby.
that's your problem.
Your problem is you're not doing right because you're not speaking right. You're not speaking right because you're not thinking right. You're not thinking right because you're not hearing right and watching right. I choose what I see. Now, I'm going to give you some... I'm going to give you a chance to criticize me, so you're my enemy. Write this down. Give you some real good fodder in case you can find somebody who's got a tape recorder and wants to listen to your filth. Listen carefully. You just named the subject. Just named the subject. And when you name it, I'll guarantee you the screen on my computer will not be blank. Why? Because I've put every decent subject I can in my computer and programmed it, and it's up there. The other day I read a book. I got through reading it. I thought, I wonder how old this book is. Looked down and said 1832. 1832. You know why it's a good book? Because back in those days, it's all you had to do. Read. Bless God, they had no radio. Bless God, they had no tape recorders. Bless God, they had no television set. And bless God, they had no telephone. And back there, folks read, and that's why your great-great-grandfather was 10 times more brilliant than you are. His vocabulary exceeded yours so much. John hit the ball was hit by John. John and Mary hit the ball was hit by John and Mary. That's what your vocabulary looked like compared to folks 150 years ago. Average person in this room never reads a book. Never. And if you do, you don't read a decent one. Won't you get your history book about America and learn something about our nation? Won't you learn something about Teddy Roosevelt? Won't you learn something about Douglas MacArthur? Won't you learn something about Thomas Jefferson? Won't you learn something about the Civil War? Read! What are you doing? When you're reading the right stuff, you're feeding your mind with the right stuff so you can form the right words, say the words that are compatible to your thinking, and do the actions compatible to your speaking, so you're acting and you're speaking, your deeds and your speech and your thoughts are compatible to each other, and that's what Jesus was. He was the Word of God, God's mind, and God's speaking, and God's actions in one perfect focused harmony. So I choose what to see. I choose what to hear. I choose whom I hear. Some people, when I get with them, I plan what we're going to say. I've got some preachers that I see across the country. Before I get with them, I outline what I'm going to say to be sure every moment I've got with them, I decide what we talk about. Because as sure as I don't, they're going to inform me about all the latest scuttlebutt of things that have gone wrong in preachers across the country, and I don't want to hear it. Why? I want to walk out in front of you every Sunday morning with a mind that's positive. And I wish somehow or other I could let you stop and realize that what you see and what you hear is simply programming the computer. I'm not a genius, but I'll guarantee you I spend 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours every day programming my computer. I'm not a genius about American finances, but you just mentioned the word finance in America, and I'll have enough on my screen to make a speech. You mentioned household furniture. I'm not an expert on household furniture, but I guarantee you one thing. I can tell a French provincial from an early American. And I'll have you mention the word household furniture, and my computer will not be blank. My screen will not be blank on my computer. You mention sports, same thing. Mention politics, same thing. I'm no genius in any subject, but I refuse. I absolutely refuse to have my mind watching nothing but garbage, hearing nothing but garbage. And it's time that you realize what you think is
you think is what you're going to do. If you're going to do right, start feeding your computer properly. Be careful. One of the most profound songs you'll ever sing is, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Whoever wrote that did not realize it, but he was giving us the secret to the Christian life. Some of you ladies ought to pull your telephone out of the wall. Put it out. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Thy eye offend thee, pluck it out." He was saying you've got to computerize your mind by what you see. And you'd be better off if you got a knife and cut your eyeball out. And for your eyeball to be used to make your mind full of negatives. I'm not preaching the power of positive thinking. I'm preaching the power of positive living. Bible living. Let me give you some of the things that you're doing. Wrecking your computer and wrecking your thought life. I mentioned telephone. I mentioned television. I mentioned telefriend. I mentioned radio. I also mentioned tonight tape recorders. And the thing that's causing more trouble in this nation right now than any of them besides the telephone is home video. And I realize when I say this that probably half of you have one of them. But brother, if you can't have one of those home videos without watching a Hollywood movie, you ought to get an axe and chop the thing to pieces. I'm not trying to get you to do conform you to what I want you to do. I'm trying to get your mind clean so you can think right, so you can speak right, so you can do right. That's all I'm trying to do. Oh, my soul, that's what Jesus was. He was the Word of God. God's Word, which means He was a perfect revelation of God's thought, and His deeds were the perfect revelation of His speaking. Whenever I can place in my mind the right things, the right thoughts, so that that which comes in will not defile me because that must go out. And I program my mind properly by what I see and what I hear. Then my thoughts can be positive thoughts. Then when I speak extemporaneously, I won't have to worry about something coming out that'll embarrass me, because there's nothing in there to speak that'll embarrass me. You won't know what bad to do unless you see bad or hear bad. You know why teenage folks are committing suicide all across the country? Because they're seeing it. You know why folks are smoking and drinking all across the country? Because they're seeing it and hearing it. You know why folks are betting all across the country? Because they see it on television and listen to it on rock music tapes. Seeing it and hearing it. When I walk in this pulpit, with this I'm through. I feel like I really mean this. I feel like a person speaking in a foreign language. But I'll say this much. I can't make you feed your computer with positives. I refuse to listen to bad truth about you. Or bad untruth. I refuse. Why? When I walk through that door right there every Sunday and walk behind this pulpit, I want to be able for you to leave this building richer than when you came. And I can only speak that which I have seen and heard. I want to give you a pure mind behind this pulpit. If I give you a pure mind, I've got to take the intake, the programming of my life has got to be pure. Let me just say it. Not only am I not going to watch X-rated movies, but I'm not going to watch movies. I'm not going to watch a bunch of
folks hugging and kissing each other on television. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's John's other wife or don't tell Bill or I don't care what it is. I'm talking about the sweet ones. I'm talking about the clean ones. We're a bunch of actors, hardly know each other, smooching on each other. I'm not talking about sex and what kissing. I can look in the face of any woman I've ever pastored and tell her, I've never had an evil thought about you. And many men in this room do the same thing. But you won't do that unless you take into your mind, through your eyes and your ears, that which is pure. That's what the Savior said. Think on things which are lovely. What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are of a good report? Think on these things. You husband and wives ought to quit half your conversation at home. Change it. When I walk in this pulpit, I want to speak things that help you. But folks, do you understand that most of the things I... Look, there's my outline tonight. I could read that outline in 3 minutes. Most of the words I've said tonight did not come from that outline. Most of the words I've said tonight came impromptu from that mind. And I refuse to stand up here and give you a pastor whose mind is impure, whose mind is negative. I want to walk in this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and let you know by the grace of God that the things that have come in these eyes, this mind through these eyes and through these ears have been things that are lovely, of a good report, honest, true, positive. Because you deserve it. You deserve it. Jesus, the perfect synchronization and focusing. Thought, word, and deed. Which means all three formed the word. In the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? The beginning was the thought, the Word, the deed, focused. The Word being the completion of the thought, expression of the thought, the deed being the completion of the Word. And I'm supposed to be like Him. I, too, am supposed to do right. If I do right, I've got to speak right. If I speak right, I've got to think right. If I think right, I've got to have the right intake. Oh, tonight, if somebody would simply say, I'm going to start reading a book every week, a good book every week. It could transform your life. If somebody would just say tonight, I'm not going to watch that or hear that, which will make my mind so that I will say things I shouldn't say and do things I shouldn't do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. I'm not trying to beat you over the head. Say, do what I do, do what I do. I'm your preacher, I'm your boss. I'm not trying to do that. I want you to live full, rich lives. I want you to live lives that are positive and rich to the core. I want the best for you. And the best for you is to do right. If you do right, you got to speak right. If you speak right, you got to think right. If you think right, you got to filter that which comes through the eyes and through the ears. For we can but speak the things we've seen and heard. You know why I preach so long? Because I got a heap more things I've studied about and thought about I want to tell you. That's why I keep on going. That's why I make little speeches during the invitation. I'm dying to tell you some more. Say, why? My mind's been on it all week long. By the time I get here, I preached down in West Texas Friday night and caught a plane and came through Dallas. And our daughter Linda and Johnny met me at the airport, and I was there almost about two hours. And we had lunch together yesterday. And I came back here. Our conversation was right. Always is. And I told Johnny at the lunch table, I said, Johnny, preaching's a wonderful thing. I said, the truth is, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. He said, why? I said, man, I got some stuff I want my folks to hear. I just can't wait till I get up there. Why? Man, I've been living in it. Living in it. I want you to hear it. And I promise you, I'll do my best to take things in my ears and in my eyes so that my mind will be clean, pure, positive, and rich with truth. So that when you come to hear me preach, you will hear a mind that is taken in through the eyes and the ears. Those things that allow me to think what I ought to think so I can speak to you what I ought to speak. So we can do what we ought to do.